You are tuned into the new Old Heads podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon at bringingdowntheband.com and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, and Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the new Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Episode 127 of the new Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. I still have no introduction. It's all good. Longevity
doesn't matter at this point, sir.
Stop, man. I'm still working on it. Long, what's up, man?
How you doing? How you doing?
Oh, you Rocky now?
I guess.
I guess I got to shout out to Philly early. Shout out to Philly, since Lone is going to be Rocky. You know what I'm saying? An intro. Rocky 2, I guess. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Just long day.
Long day. I feel you. In the corner, fresh to death, as always, rocking the trees joint, DJ J Diff.
Salutations.
What's good, brother?
Hi.
Okay.
I'm just going to shine route. Hi.
Okay. That's
What's
cool.
I'll take that. What's going on, man? You good?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. All right. To my immediate left, Mr. Wavy Light Skin Girls Be Loving Me Now. I actually have a new name for him.
Oh.
Because
I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah, this is going to be, we'll break this on the show now. So he's the resident, he's most experienced at hip hop. You know, he's the guru, the old head here that's actually, you know, legit. Like, he's been embedded in the city. So
the most legit. I don't want to be a hater or anything like that, but yeah. How'd you come up with that information that he's the most legit?
Because, man, like, Jay Moore is, where can you go and listen to hip hop and not see him?
Well, there's plenty of places.
Yeah. Well, not for me. Maybe I don't go to those places. So yeah, the places I go to.
Yeah, you don't go anywhere.
Yeah, he embedded in the places I go to. How about that? You know what I'm saying? Known his brother a long time. Very influential. How about that? You like that?
That's cool.
Fair enough. Anyway.
I do all right.
I think I'm going to start calling him, and he'll know the reference. I think I'm going to start calling him Kansas City Mac.
See.
From Uptown.
Yeah, because I posted that clip.
From, you know where I'm coming from,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from what was that? Let's Do It Again.
Let's Do It Again. Shout out to Sidney Poitier. Bill Cosby was in that joint, man.
So is John Amos.
Yes, who is Kansas City Mac. If you haven't seen that movie, I don't know how, if you grew up, you know what I'm saying?
An actor that doesn't get a lot of love is Calvin Lockhart.
Yes.
Yeah, he did a lot of joints in the 70s, and he was, you know, every actor had to be on Good Times at least once. He played Florida Evans's cousin
that
made a lot of money betting on the horses.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so he was going to take him out of the ghetto.
Sweet daddy.
But once again, Florida didn't want to, you know, had him an apartment paid for the whole year.
Facts.
She didn't want to leave the ghetto because he got the money betting on horses.
Kansas City Mac was that dude,
that bullshit,
though.
Yeah, honestly, Florida.
Yeah, you a hater.
No, let's just be honest. Florida Evans messed up the bag for the Evans family about 10 times during the course of that show. They should have had been out of the ghetto, but, you know, she always had to step in and be like, no, we can't do that. It wouldn't be right.
Yeah.
She held it down.
That's like
though.
That. Y'all remember the basketball commercial? My homie just posted this recently.
What's that?
Where, like, there's two high school teams going against each other.
Yeah. I touched the ball, coach.
Like I touched the ball, coach. And then he went, there's like a timeout call, and he goes over and tells the ref that he's the one to touch the ball.
Huh?
That would never fucking happen.
At all.
That would never happen.
You're right.
Why would you?
Nobody's that stupid.
People get away with calls every day, B.
Yeah.
I saw
a couple this weekend during the Final Four.
Already.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, man, so that's, you know, still Jay Moore, but every once in a while I might reference him as Kansas City Mac. So,
how you come up with a whole new scenario for him, which we on like the 20th episode where I can't think of nothing for myself.
He just told you that he shared a reference to that movie. Come on, man. He just shared that. That's how I tied it together, brother.
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Do better.
I feel you, man. It's all good, man. It's still love, though.
It is.
And we have on the mic as well, Red August. He is mic'd up for the second episode, so I don't know how this is going to go. I personally hate it. But Red August, what's going on, brother?
I'm good, young man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Good to have your voice on the podcast as well. We might throw it to you on a couple topics, so hopefully you're ready. I know you've been out there in the streets telling people you own now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Better mine than yours. That's what I always say. So.
Fair enough. All right, man. Let's take care of pay a couple bills and get a few things out the way first. Thank you, sir. So shout out to all the partners. Coleman Dental, 317-255-8546. Make sure you get your teeth is right. Bringing Down the Band is the hub, as always. Printfinity, support your local entrepreneurs. Indie CD and Vinyl, a partner of ours as well. And shout out to No Bad Ideas. They have continually laced us throughout the course of every episode that we've done. So we really appreciate them. Do you gentlemen have anything popping this weekend before we get started? I will start with Jay Moore, and then we can go around.
Well, let's really quickly, since we talked about Indie City and Vital, talk about Record Store Day.
Yes, definitely. Let's mention that.
So, and then we'll talk about what's going on this week. So on April 13th and 14th, Record Store Day is going to be a big deal in Indianapolis. On that Sunday, the 14th, we're actually going to be doing a live, you can call it taping, I guess, a live recording of a show at Indie City and Vinyl at 12:30 p.m. So
yes,
you can come out and check us out live there if you'd like. But also on Saturday, through Bringing Down the Band and Decademics, we're doing 5 hours of producers from 3 to 8. And also Decademics is going to do 5 hours of DJs from 3 to 8 on Sunday.
Nice.
But there's also a bunch, they're going to have a full live stage and all that stuff. So make sure you check that out.
Who's performing on the stage? Any new acts?
Nobody that I am familiar with.
Gotcha.
So
cool.
But we're going to be doing a Section Leaders thing in the store on Saturday. So at 4:00.
All right. That's what's up.
Plug one, plug two.
Plug what? Plug one, plug two. Now, Jay Moore, you got anything popping before we get started with the rundown?
Let's see. Of course, Thursday, every Thursday, I'm at Tiki Bob's for. Excuse me. Tiki's on Thursday. Shout out to Ted Hardy, Team Liddy, Lemmy Vice, and this week, DJ Gabby Love will be with us. On Friday, it is going to be the first Friday. We're going to be at the High Five for Back to the Future with DJ Metronome, Nico Flores. Let's see. I think Stylistic's going to be with us. And you just never know. We always have a rotating cast of folks that come through.
Dance, maybe.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, I'll be with DJ Lockstar at the Casbah for Lockdown Saturdays. That it's not really a club. It's almost like being at a house party in the basement. So it's a fly situation. So I dig it, and you should dig it too.
I like it. JD, what you got?
I am chilling this weekend.
Okay,
it looks like, unless something happens between now and then, which is a possibility.
Okay,
but right now I'm chilling.
No gigs, nothing popping up at the moment.
Nope.
Cool. Fair enough. Lone, you got anything popping?
I'm drawing a blank. Back to the Future, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. Is like you said, it's a Decademics event, so that's Friday. Saturday is Lo-Fi Saturday Nights with David Peck at Patron Saint, 7 to 10, free.
99.
So come out and check that out. And
pretty good vibe. I like that, man. He's doing good with that. It's a good vibe.
Yeah, it's a good event.
And I can't forget about Take That Tuesday.
Of course.
It'll be happening next Tuesday, the Tuesday after that, and hopefully the Tuesday after that. And every Tuesday going forward, we just celebrated
from here on out.
Take That 13. So shout out to everybody.
Which was crazy, as
who
always.
Came to the 13-year anniversary of hip-hop in downtown Indianapolis. It's not a small thing.
Indeed. Printfinity laced the shirts as well.
Yes, man, you better talk that talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk that talk.
Word.
You all right, man? Okay.
He had a Home Alone Kevin moment there.
I know, for a second. His eyes cool. Watering.
Well, you know, it's all good.
Let it out, man.
Yeah, let it out, man. If you want to talk about something.
No, I'm just tired.
Okay.
I think.
Tired works. That's real.
That's what friends are for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shots to Spools, too. He's not with us today as well, but probably be back next week.
As always, shout out to the homie Spools. We look forward to him coming back. So let's go ahead and jump into the rundown.
Oh, I also want to shout this out as well. We got to do, actually, I should have thought about this earlier. So Honora is going to be at the Hi-Fi on April 10th, which is next Wednesday, with Devin Morrison, who was actually just featured on
Fonte's EP, right?
Yeah, he was featured on that. He's also dropping a new project. Well, this comes out Thursday, so yesterday on the 3rd, called Bussin'. So they're going to be there Tickets are $15 right now. Okay. But we have some ticket giveaways. So if you're watching this, we are going to do some ticket giveaways to our patrons. So everybody that's signed up for our $3 option, we're going to start raffling some of those off. So yeah, check us out. And well, you can check the link in the description and all that stuff, but it's patreon.com/newoldheads. And so we're going to give out some comp tickets for that. So
word.
It's going to be a good, very good event. So
straight like that.
Shout out to the patrons as well. They continue to hold us down. So we appreciate you guys for that. Everybody in the community. So we definitely, y'all definitely show us love. So we want to try to give back in as many ways as possible.
And we're behind on our vinyl raffle. But we got the special order in. So it's been placed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So they're going to. Did that today, so we got some new Record Store Day stuff coming for our last two raffles, as well as I'm going to see No Bad Ideas tomorrow. So
hey,
got some new stuff for y'all. So
they always keep that.
There
hit.
We go.
Boom.
I think that covers all the news.
I
right?
think that's everything. That
sounds like it.
All right, yeah. So let's jump in. First topic. This one is really really sad, man. This one hit me kind of heavy. I know we've all talked about it before we came on, and you know everybody that I know, at least for the most part, has been impacted by this one. But we lost Nipsey Hussle over the weekend. He was shot outside of his Marathon store, Crenshaw District of L.A. It was on Saturday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
Was it Sunday? Oh, yeah, Sunday mm-hmm. afternoon. I'm sorry, because it was just after the game I watched. So I remember I was at my mother's crib. And just unfortunate, man. It's just a sad situation. When you talk about a dude that was embedded in the culture heavily from a standpoint of he was pushing a black excellence. He was about the tech knowledge. I heard him talk about cryptocurrency. He had a tech lab that he was working on in the Crenshaw area. He had a co-working space with the STEM program as well for the kids. Like, it's just crazy, all of this stuff that he was doing. He went back and bought that area where he has a Marathon, where he used to, you know, hustle his music since he grew up in that area. And to see the video, you know, somebody just rolling up on him that actually he was affiliated with, to shoot him 6 times and, you know, kick him in the head. Like, it was just, it's really, really a tough thing to swallow from a fan of music standpoint, just to know what he stood for overall. You know what I'm saying? It's really, really sad, and it's eerie, but it really, really reminds me of, you know, when Tupac got killed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really took me back to a place where I was really, really hurt when that happened, and I never thought it would be a situation where there was an artist that would kind of put that type of feeling on me. When Mac Miller passed away, you know, I was heard about that, but this was different because I always look at Nip as somebody that we needed. You know what I'm saying? Just from a cultural standpoint, someone that kids could look up to, someone that artists could look up to, we could look up to, anyone could, just from his grind and where he came from to who he became. And just senseless violence, man, is really, really sad. Like, they, you know, to quote Doughboy, they punched the wrong clock. You know what I'm saying? On Nip. Like, I really, really am bothered by this one. Lone, you got any thoughts on this one? I kind of go around the table. Anybody can, you know, we can do the comments that way.
What to say? I mean, you covered a lot of it. It's a shame, you know, just because of who, I mean, it's a shame for anybody to die
right
like that. But, yeah, he was doing so much. And so it's a shame to see somebody pass away like that or get killed that way.
33 years old.
And, you know, he was young. He was doing. I mean, you mentioned it already.
Yeah.
You know, he was a staple in the community. He stayed in his community and went and bought back his community. Yep. You know, and he's building it up. You know, it's the argument of, do you leave your community or do you stay in it? He stayed in it, and then. Yeah, it's sad. You know, it's been a tough few days.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I agree.
It's probably why I'm a little mentally tired right now, to be honest.
Word.
Kind of had to turn social media off with all the back and forths of everybody with the conspiracy theories and everything going on.
Yeah.
But it's just sad, man. I don't know what else to say.
I turned away from a lot of that too. I was actually texting my homie Jesse today about ignoring some of that and skipping through some of that, because you know, some of the stuff that I saw was the level of how ridiculous it was, and I saw the entire spectrum from the Dr. Sebi comments to, you know, the conspiracy theories just about dumb shit that people were pulling out of the air. Like, it's just frustrating to see, especially at a time like this when a young man was just killed and people start pulling bullshit out of the air just to try to tie something together for likes and clicks. Like, that shit is corny.
It's more for the likes and clicks stuff. I think it's just the fact that it was so prevalent. Like, no matter where I was at, it was just another theory and it was just another something. And it was just like, I'm okay with the conspiracy theory idea. Right. Some of it might even be relevant. I don't know. Who knows? Realistically, I mean, it doesn't look like it based upon all the evidence that just came out, but right. It was just a lot, man. It's like it's completely overwhelming to see all that information. No matter, like, you go to Facebook, it's 9 out of 10. I mean, at least on mine, you know, go to Twitter, it's there. It's IG, Instagram, it's everywhere. And it's just, part of it's like, cool, at least people are acknowledging Nipsey, you know, for what he is. You know, at least people are looking into Dr. Sebi. At least that's cool. You know, that's the other side of it. You know, people are actually talking about all the good he does or has done. But it's just so sad, man. It's overwhelming.
100%. J-Dip, jump in, man. Just talk about Nipsey.
And he was in the prime of his music career.
Yeah.
Facts. Go ahead.
I honestly have been kind of sick off of it. Like, literally sick to my stomach about the whole situation. Because there's no way he should have went out like that. Especially considering all the things that, like you said, he's done in the community. What he stood for, because even if you weren't into his music, if you just watched his interviews and seen what type of dude he was dropping knowledge and gems and jewels and things that people could take away from it, whether you liked his music or not. So it's, like you said, they punched the wrong clock on that one.
Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate that it was somebody that was close to him. I don't know how close. It could have just been like a neighborhood associate or whatnot, but somebody new.
Yeah, same affiliation.
Yeah. It was not gang related, so
because they were Rolling 60s.
They both were Rolling 60s Crips. But it's just so sad all over. And my thoughts and prayers go out to his friends and family, those close to him, his kids, even
Lauren London.
Yeah, man, it's really sad. And to your point about social media, it's, what made it real bad to me is it's almost like it caused a division because everybody wanted to be right about what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And nobody was there.
Yeah.
But everybody knew exactly what happened, why it happened. And that's just disheartening that something like that, you all should be grieving him and his situation and friends, family members, rather than trying to be the super sleuth detective and FBI agent that knows everything, and you're not there. You don't know what's going on. Everybody's blaming the government. I don't know. It was, like you said, it's tiring, and it was, honestly, it's upsetting that something like this happened, for one, and then it caused all this just rigmarole of an uproar for no reason. From just speculation.
100% speculation.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he just dropped his first
studio album.
Official
full-length release.
Victory Lap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just weird that the title of that album is Victory Lap.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a tweet about, I'm paraphrasing here, having strong enemies is a blessing or something like that.
That was like minutes before he got shot.
Yeah. Right. And it's like he was out there taking pictures with kids and like, I think he had just snapped a picture with a little girl before that.
Right by the car.
Yeah. Like, it was in that exact same area. And he owned that whole strip mall and employed people.
Yeah.
So that's the wrong person to target.
Yeah.
That's just, I don't understand why, like you had shared that article with, well, not article, but
it's something, the
message from Ninth Wonder.
Yeah.
I think we can get into that Mm-hmm. I think that's something interesting to talk about.
Yeah. I actually wrote a piece of that comment down from what Knight said. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Jay Bourne real quick. That's just cool. You know, the overall, and then I'll jump in with the ninth comment.
Well, you know, one of the things, like, I was actually very upset for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I couldn't put a finger on it, and it was the same way I was upset about Tupac. I enjoyed Nipsey's music. I actually put him, he was in my, when I did my top 10 of the year, he was, Victory
I think
Lap,
he was in all of our
was
top.
Number three, only behind Fonte and Supreme Blientel.
Yep.
And I was, you know, I wasn't really upset about, oh, I'm not going to get any more music from Nipsey. Right. But I'm one of those people that, you know, I love to watch people's interviews to kind of see who they are as a person. Mm-hmm. And I watched everything like this guy was on, because he never would, even when he talked about his time in the streets, he talked about how he was trying to steer people away from that.
Right.
And how he wanted to create a more positive space for the upcoming generation and give them other things to do. Like, he employed little kids. He would have them sweeping up and making sure that, you know, just giving a little money in their pocket and showing them a better way.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't like super Crip out here talking about gang banging like it was the shit, you know, like where they're still, you know, he was the exact opposite of Tekashi 6ix9ine.
100%.
I mean, when you think about how Crips formed, he kind of embodies.
Yeah.
The meaning of why Crips even exist.
To actually protect the neighborhood.
Right.
That's a very good point.
When you really
That's a
do
very
the,
good point.
Do the science on it. So, mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, so me having that understanding, I understand why people are so hurt. But, you know, I was also very upset when I saw all these conspiracy theories, because I'm like, first of all, if you don't know about the street politics of South Central Los Angeles, then you really need to keep your mouth shut.
Exactly.
You know.
Thank you.
And for you to believe that in that area, in that city, that it has to be some sort of conspiracy for a black man to be shot and killed, then you're really not paying attention, and you're just trying to bring attention to yourself. So I didn't appreciate that. I almost wanted to unfollow. There's some people I did wind up unfollowing. Anybody who brought up Dr. Sebi.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, man. Is this the best you can do? You know, here is in his family is just starting to mourn.
Exactly.
You know, this is a man who had, you know, two younger children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you want to talk about all this other foolishness. Like, just send out good energy and prayers to his lady and to his family. His parents are still alive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you got to say, and you got to make it about you. I just think that's where we are in this society right now, where even tragedies where you don't know the person, you can't just send a kind word.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it about you. But at the same time, there was something that I said, and I had discussions with people online, because I felt like, you know, whenever we talk about, you know, the things that go on, with people always like to say, no snitching, this, that, and the third.
Yep.
And I said, look, first of all, that no snitching stuff needs to be out in this case right now, because, first of all, no snitching, that comes from organized crime.
Facts.
And that wasn't organized. That has nothing to do with what happened here.
It actually does, kind of.
Well,
so, allegedly.
Yeah, he was some sort of snitch.
Yeah. I see where you, okay,
but,
I see where you
but when
from.
You, but see, the thing is, people, like, snitching is if the four of us, let's just include Mike. If the five of us,
we've had to give this example on a prior episode.
Yeah,
I think Red August did it.
If the five of us are selling dope, and then all five of us get busted, and then I say, you know what, I'll tell on all these guys if I get to go home. That's what we're talking about. Like,
exactly.
You take your own weight if you're out here doing wrong.
Right.
But if somebody is just out here shooting people in our community or knocking grandmothers over the side of their head for their Social Security, no, we need to tell on those people. That's
these
not
people
honorable, and that is
and
these
what,
people
what
are
ends up happening
hurting culture.
As well is even if they're not saying something to the authorities,
right?
The neighborhood is policing that situation,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And a lot of people are speaking on things that they have no idea of what it actually means.
But it's the concept of the people that are, to his point of what he's talking about, it's like, okay, so you got the quote-unquote street rules and the people that are active and all that, But then you have people that are actually civilians that buy into the concept of, oh, I shouldn't tell. Like, what are you talking about? Like, these rules or quote unquote laws don't apply to you. If somebody comes up to me and shoots one of my friends, I'm going to tell who did that.
If I saw it, I was like, him in the blue hat in the car, I'm giving you the
full description.
Like, why am I protecting you?
Well, I mean, they caught dude, you know, so
I'm glad they did. I'm honestly, glad they caught him. Because I felt like if they didn't catch him soon, there was going to be a lot more violence.
I gave it 72 hours.
I mean, I've heard of family members getting
their houses and
shot up.
They were not playing. They were 100% not playing.
So
yeah, man, it's just crazy. That whole concept of, well, I don't want to tell because of, or I'm not going to tell because of, like, I'm glad that people found this dude. You know what I'm saying? And he can be held accountable for his actions because he had a part in rewriting history. Mm-hmm.
This wasn't the guy. Did you see the video of the guy who was on Instagram
that
Live?
That's...
That had to be the most disgusting thing I've seen.
That wasn't
what kind
cool.
of clout chasing
yeah,
is that?
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
That's why this era is trash. It is. Man. Like,
here's
that
another
is the
thing.
Epitome of why this era is trash. Go ahead.
Another thing that bothered me, too, is people mad at other people sending out condolences.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that one too.
You don't know who Nipsey Hussle is or whatnot. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know who he is today. Well, I'm not saying me, but
in
general. That's just like saying something happened to one of us or somebody we know.
Yeah.
And just because I don't know that person, people do it all the time. They say, pray for me, such and such passed away, and everybody's on there, my condolences.
Yeah.
It's no different. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand why people are pulling straws for, well, I've been listening to him this long, so I have the right to say. What are we talking
about
here, man?
Yeah.
The only time I because I, you know, once again, I was in my bag that night because I was, you know, like I said, they really got one of the real ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew the next day I didn't want to hear a whole bunch of people on the radio shouting out Nipsey Hussle and trying to do Nipsey Hussle tribute mixes when you he wasn't on your radar, you weren't playing his music, weren't.
Because then that's just for spins and play. And,
you know, I mean,
that's
different. And now part of me, like, okay, if knowing he owns 100% of his music, then I guess.
Right.
But at the same, it's like I remember I was listening to the radio after Sean Price passed away. And
no,
I remember
Good Will, you ain't never
and
heard
I'm
Sean
like,
Price song.
Come
on,
man. Like, why are you shouting out
Thank
Sean
you.
Price? You didn't your program director had to Google this person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, don't, if you, that's not the part of the culture that you're pushing, then don't come over here when some tragedy happens.
Right.
I agree.
Pretending.
Yeah.
Trying to be hip, get some airplay.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they meant like the same thing when I remember when Jay Dilla passed.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, don't start talking about Jay Dilla now.
Oh, yeah, man, Jay Dilla was such a. I remember seeing people that, and this would have been, we know for a fact.
This happened years after with Dilla.
Like, it still happens. Like, it's like, oh, man, Jay Dilla was just such a huge influence on me, man. And I just remember, like, going to listen to Detroit Deli, and I just remembered, I'm like, I know you, man. Like, you ain't never listened to Jay Dilla at all. Your music has zero reflection of Jay Dilla. What are you talking about? Like, that's a hype beast take to be. Like, you just trying to be a part of the culture to act like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I do give that piece, like, people wanting to be a part of something, claiming to be, but at the same time, this isn't a time or place.
It's not the
to
time
to be pointing
that,
fingers
man.
At certain people.
No,
oh no,
you know
no,
what
no.
I'm saying?
Yeah, no. But I will just say, hey, the new old heads, we gave Nipsey his flowers while
definitely
100.
Yeah, we were just talking about that when we went on my birthday trip to Tennessee with my nephew about how that and J-Rock's album were my favorite two hip hop albums of the year last year.
I had Nip number one. And, you know, we talked about the Grammys. That's why I kept saying, I get it. But to me, he had the best album in the category. But I get it. Like, that's why I kept saying, I get it. But yeah, he came in number one for me.
Yeah.
No
question.
That
was my nephew's favorite joint.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, they really hurting off of it.
That's crazy, bro.
I was riding the Decademics about 9 months ago or something. I was bumping that album. And the track number two was on. My windows were down. Somebody was like, it was like construction on college, probably. Mm-hmm. And
like there
like,
always is.
Somebody slowed up. Somebody slowed up and stopped and looked right at me. And was like, And he kept going.
Shook his head. Yeah, I approve.
I see you.
It was like one of them commercials.
Yeah, it was exactly like one of them commercials.
Nah, man, that's this one is this one's tough, man. This one is tough, and it's really, really unfortunate.
Even listening to it right now, it's like that same feeling when Mac died.
Yeah.
Well, his album kind of alluded to him dying to me.
It was different.
It was a little darker than.
But like this Nipsey album, listening to that and just knowing, like what he had in store, like this ain't supposed to be the end.
He said he had a whole, like, there's another project that was about to come out.
This ain't supposed to be the end. I think he has a joint project with Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave East, they had a visual in New York. Dave East was sitting on top of a Sprinter van. My son was out there, a whole bunch of people out there, Candlelight Joint in New York. And Dave East was getting emotional because he was like, man, he's on my album. We were just talking about writing a treatment for a video. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just crazy to hear people talk about, like LeBron was like, man, I just texted him like 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah, Dave East also was saying, like, when Big and Pac died, he was like, I was a kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, with Nip passing, like, I feel that.
Now,
like,
you know,
You know what I'm saying? He felt that same pain, that inner, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a weird feeling, man. And it's like, and then when you listen to it, to these type of individuals, these artists, they're so alive in the music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I actually had made a post. My post just pretty much said that truth hit different when the voices are silenced.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like when you listen to it now, it's like, man.
Yeah.
Even though you heard the truth.
Yeah.
And you heard all this, even not even just the music, just in general.
Yeah.
It's like you take it in different now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird, man.
Yeah, man. It's just a tough situation. And like I said, when we opened, we are all old enough to remember Tupac passing. Like, we're old enough to.
I was a senior in high school.
That's what I'm
saying.
Tupac
and Biggie died.
See, so you know, we can remember what that felt like. We're old enough to remember what that felt like. And I'm like, man, we saw Big, we saw Pac, and this is the same thing. It's like the impact to me is eerily similar to how that hit, man. Like,
that's more Nipsey's more to me.
Oh, okay, where?
I think just because, I don't know.
No, I respect that.
But yeah. Also just because I'm older.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think also because Nipsey made it to 33.
I'm older than Nipsey Hussle.
You know? Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, that right. You know, because now I see it as like, man, that young man lost his life.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I almost look at him as like a little brother. Like, he's, you know, he's definitely not. It wasn't his time.
No. Nah.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't Pac or Big's time, but, you know, even though they weren't that much older than me.
They were 25 and 26 when they passed.
Yeah, I think Pac was 26.
Yeah, and it was like, but now I look back on it, and I'm like, I hadn't done anything at 25 and 26, you know. And for these guys to be at the level they were at and what they could have accomplished, you know, I almost feel like Nipsey
is a product of them.
He was the evolution. He was like, okay, if Pac would have lived to be 33, he would have been doing the things that Nipsey was doing at 33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, he saw, okay, these are my heroes. These are the people. This is where I come from.
Yeah.
And it's just, like I said, it's disheartening to know that somebody would do something so petty and so violent to somebody who was doing so much good in the world. He was getting ready to meet the next day with the LAPD and some other communities.
I forgot about
the mayor
that part. Yeah.
About reducing gang violence. Like, he wasn't.
With Roc Nation.
Yes. Yeah. He just wasn't a guy who was like, yeah, hold your head up, and then he ran off to his mansion in the hills.
Nah.
Yeah. He was actually there trying to help people. But, you know, and we wanted to get into it, but sometimes it's just not enough. Like, there's always going to be somebody who's not happy for you.
Yeah, Ninth, I pulled a quote from his post where he basically was talking about the concept of, you know, keeping it real and going back to the hood, and, you know, people asking him, well, when you going to put somebody on? Like, when you going to go back and get somebody? And he actually, you know, was saying that this is a fear of his. It's a personal fear of his. When you try to open the door for somebody and try to reach out to somebody to, you know, throw them a bone, maybe put them in a position to win. And then those feelings you know, continue to grow and stuff from the past. And next thing you know, you got somebody mad at you that you actually help. Jealousy. So
it sounded more like he was alluding to the fact that you can't help everybody, no matter how. Like, you know, like more so like how, you know, he mentioned like all the things that he did.
It was a very long.
And then
he
was like,
post.
But you can't help everybody, and there's always that one person that's going to feel that jealousy. And I think the quote I pulled was,
he said, "So can we live and help our own people without being looked at as not helping?" He says, when is enough enough? He said, forget the conspiracy theories. Your own will try to harm you over nothing but jealousy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I always talk about the Boosie interview with Vlad. We always laugh, talk about Boosie's interviews, how entertaining they are. But he was on the money when he talked about he can't go back to Baton Rouge. He'd be crazy to go back. Because of all the people that were in third grade and fourth grade with him that see how successful he is now, that see their girlfriends listening to his music, and they go home and they're nowhere near living the life that he is. And he's like, I'd be crazy to go back. He said, most rappers die in their own hometown. You think about Jam Master Jay, for example. Like, we've talked about this before. Yeah. And it's crazy that, you know, Ninth talks about this actually being a fear of not being able to help everyone and for the possibility of something like this happening.
And this is Ninth Wonder, who people on the outside looking in would consider, what would you classify Ninth Wonder's style of music as?
Would you call him conscious, right?
I wouldn't say conscious.
Traditional hip-hop, true school. Yeah.
So he's not even out there like that.
Yeah.
And he still feels a certain way. So that speaks volumes because, it's almost like, remember Kanye had the phrase, I can't come back home. And guess when I heard that? When I was back home.
When I was back home, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody like Kanye, you would think they're protected.
Yep.
You would think that certain resources they have and share with individuals would kind of give them a pass. But to Ninth's point, or Jay Moore, what you just said, when is enough enough? It's like nobody, there's no like scale that shows, well, you've helped this person, this person, this person. You pretty much helped everybody, but this one seems like they need more help and you're not facilitating that help to them, so they feel a certain type of way about it.
Yeah.
Or they feel like they might have been cooler with you, so you're supposed to be doing more for them.
Yeah.
But how do you stay wealthy by doing that, though?
You can't.
How do you save your family by doing that?
You can't.
Going back, getting everybody.
This is the crazy thing, where to kind of bring it all around, the reason Hammer lost $30 million.
I was just about to say that.
It's not because he was tricking off money or he bought that big house. It's because every time somebody would be in trouble in his neighborhood, he'd say, come on, I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to pay you a salary to be on tour with me.
Yep.
And
yeah, 50 dancers on stage.
At one point, his payroll was like $500,000 a month. And some of those people, like Arsenio Hall, talked about this. He's like, Hammer, what does that guy do? He says, oh, he's just here. He doesn't dance. He's not in the band. He doesn't rap. Hammer just pays him so he's not in the neighborhood.
I'm keeping him off the streets.
Yeah. And then when the record sales fell off a little bit, he had to send some of those people back.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, those people wound up being the most ungrateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people that he took off of the street. So it can never be enough. Especially if you don't put them in a position to empower themselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, if you're just giving them money, which is what a lot of people feel like, because it happens with athletes all the time. That's how they wind up going broke. And you... It sounds bad, but now I don't really get mad at, you know, when people help from afar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what people do too, it's almost like even if you're not out there just handing out money, they're jealous of the impact that you're creating. So if I was to go back to my neighborhood and buy all the apartment buildings and stuff that are ran down or not functioning anymore, that are boarded up, and put all that back together and start like fixing all the streets, putting new sidewalks, things like that. That's not money going directly into somebody else's pocket. But at the same time, it's almost like, are you want to try to stunt like that? It's almost like they'll still try to find a reason,
yeah,
to make it be like you're trying to show off, or
you think you all that,
you think you're better than, yeah,
you think better than
us. But it's not even that. It's like you want where you're from to look a certain way, and if you have the means to do that, then why not? But at the same time, if I have to worry about somebody still targeting me for making the surroundings look better, then how does that make that person feel?
Especially if you're living, especially if the homies that come to you with that, especially if they are in the community still and have children that are coming up,
mm-hmm.
this benefits y'all.
Right.
Like, these are the surroundings that we grew up
in.
Your
parents.
Exactly. Like, this benefits everybody. Like, your immediate family is going to be affected by what I'm trying to do in the hood,
mm-hmm.
but you can't get past the fact that I'm doing it.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying?
Even then, when you say the kid thing, I almost think that's where the jealousy comes into play, because then
the kids want
say
to be like
your
you.
Kids
Man,
see
that's tough.
You come through, like when they yeah. shot Chinks in, I guess in Brooklyn, I can't remember this story, but you know, he came through in a shiny new Porsche Panamera.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, just imagine you're walking down the street with your kids and you're on a train.
He's just getting something
and
to eat.
You're seeing, and your kids are like, "Daddy, look at that nice car." And then you see your woman come out and, you know, kind of her eyes get big. And it doesn't matter what that person's doing in the community
at all.
That little pit of jealousy is what's really going to trigger some people. Because I, you know, when they wanted to run with all these conspiracy theories about, you know, the curing of AIDS and cancer by Dr. Sebi, I said, nothing kills more black men in the inner cities than jealousy and envy,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it is. And it's just in that moment, because honestly, this kid that I don't even want to mention his name that shot him, who's been captured,
yep.
Who's captured this afternoon.
He had a fitting name. I will say that.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I see what you did there.
he wound up, you know, for that moment that he shot him. I mean, did he feel better?
There's no way he felt better.
That envy, it was that, and the jealousy, was that quelled when you took this man's life?
Was it worth it?
I just want anybody who's living that life, who may be listening to this podcast, or you know someone, like, you have to bring it to people like that. Okay, you shot this person who you were jealous of. They're gone. It's not going to do anything to heal that lack of self-esteem.
Nothing.
In your heart. And now you're on the run, and you got that man's
well, they got him.
Hands.
They yeah. got him.
And
but
so now,
like, he's about to have a rough time in prison.
I don't think he's gonna last too long in prison.
They're gonna have to have him in 24-hour lockdown.
Yeah.
To be affiliated with Crips and to take out a Crip.
Yeah. That's
that's ridiculous.
And then it'd be Nip on top of that. That's double. That's
and Nip was more, even though he was a Crip.
Yeah.
He was more about uniting and trying to push the whole thing forward.
He would.
So that included everybody. It yeah. included the Bloods and the Crips.
His homie
Nip would intentionally wear red
yeah.
just so they could say, "Look, we're not, this is what we're doing today."
Yeah.
And you can't come.
He had on
out
red shorts when he got killed.
With yeah. that rah rah, because yep. we're not doing that anymore. That's not how we're moving. We're not about, you know, killing anybody just because they lived on another street growing up.
His homie, one of his homies had a interview. I cannot remember who it was with. You know how you go through YouTube, you scroll through things. And he said, Nip has always been the middleman. And the guy was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "He's always been the middleman from the standpoint of, you know, talking about the Bloods and the Crips, always been a dude about togetherness. He's yeah. always been that guy. Even when they were coming up, he's always been a dude that's like, yo, we should just squash this and come together and unite. He's always been that person. And it's crazy to think, you know, what took him out. He's always been the guy that's been the opposite of that. Like, I don't want to be about that. So all of these things that we're talking about just make it that much worse when you think about the entire situation.
Yeah.
I'll say this to, for everything that Nipsey has done in his own community, I hope this doesn't deter people from wanting to stay in their communities and wanting to build up. Just because I feel like that's mad important. I had a ton amount of respect for the fact that he stayed in his community. He built it up. He bought up where he's from for the people where he's from.
He could have bought a store anywhere.
I understand why people leave and all that stuff, but
yeah.
But I hope it doesn't deter people from wanting to do that, because I think that's extremely important, the example he was setting. And I think that's a lot more impactful than building from not within. Mm. That's well just my said. Two cents.
No, it's right. almost well like said. You can't win, because if right. you do it in your community,
yeah.
then you have something like that happens. Then you do it somewhere else, it's almost like, well, are you too good to mess with us now?
Yeah, you don't. You, know, you like never come back.
If he built a store in Beverly Hills and was trying to charge people $500 for a T-shirt,
he's yeah. a sellout.
You know, or you know, it'd be like some people would be like, oh, well, I mean, and I'm not trying to compare movements, but you know, Kanye, you know, he would sell Raylist to Kanye selling everybody $500 T-shirts with holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. But people don't begrudge him at all for that.
Nips is all and I don't want people to too though.
I mean, you know? Independent, but I mean, you're talking about ownership in America, yeah. right?
Which was his thing.
So he was taking ownership of
everything
of what he was up. You know, it's given back to his people, like when, in general. You know, like it's not owned by white people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's that to, concept. To put it bluntly,
that concept of ownership is. That much colder to Lone's point is because he could pick and choose who he hired. So there were so many up and coming artists that were working in the store that he had next door. All the homies that he had that he came up with, kind of like the LeBron concept with Rich and Maverick Carter, all those dudes. Like that store was full of people that he knew or who were up and coming in the area. They were all from the same area. That's the dope part, you know, to like Lone said, like he can control whoever he wanted to bring there. Like the video we talked about with the guy, the older guy, that knew him when he was a kid, that, you know, picks up the trash on a parking lot. He backed up, picked him up one day, you know, took him to get a new gear, got a fresh haircut. Yeah, he was in a strip club, went and got him something to eat, you know, pedicure, all that. Like,
I mean, jealousy is going to be there.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the hardest thing is, and you hear... You know, because Envy and Charlamagne had a discussion about this on The Breakfast Club this morning, is like the only time I've had to fear for my life. Envy was like, the only time I've had my car shot at is when I was around other people who look like me.
Yeah, that's real.
What happens is like people internalize it, and it's hard. You know, it's hard for you to say, okay, I'm gonna keep it real, but it's like I also have a family.
Yeah,
you know, I have a wife at home. And I want to go home to them every night. You know, do I keep it real or do I keep myself alive?
Yeah.
You know, and as far as his legacy, I want people to understand his legacy, not only of ownership, but of just being a stand-up individual. I hope, you know, everything that he's built, there's someone there to, or multiple people, that community says, we're going to protect these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, and not just let because he's gone, now they're going to be gone.
That's yeah. why know? It's so painful, because yeah. there's yeah. not, there aren't many people like Nipsey.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Most people talk about being bosses, and I'm like, no, Nipsey was a boss.
An actual boss. An actual boss.
Yeah.
Not a rap boss. You know.
But, you know, a boss, because he could, you know, he should have been the safest person in his community. That's the most discouraging thing, because
that
he did for his people, and he didn't have to be corny about it.
Yeah.
He was still himself. You know, he still wore his chains. He still wore his hair long and kept his beard. And
you're supposed to protect that man by any means.
Yes. By any means.
That should have been.
There was something floating around, too. I don't know how true it was, but I guess he was shooting a video with DJ Khaled. And they were saying something about allegedly he had been fearing for his life. This was like 10 days
yeah.
before this all happened. So mm-hmm. during this video shoot, they had a lot of security around and police actually on deck, and they're locking down certain areas so that people can't get in that may not have supposed to have been on the scene. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. Hopefully it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that... whatever is going on, because even with that cryptic tweet that he sent out,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, there's something there that he was worried about. You know what
well,
I'm saying?
I think what I don't know what the time frame. I'd have to go back and look at the time frame or the timeline of everything that happened. But I think the guy that ended up shooting him was there earlier.
Yeah, that was somebody that he sent away because he was allegedly the snitch.
And then that tweet was what? How many minutes before?
I don't know the exact
time. I don't know how that ties in, but it's crazy when you think about it, when you try to line it up. It's like he knew. Maybe he did know. Because that's a cryptic tweet, bro. That's
because I don't think really you'd cryptic. Ever think that some. I don't think even he thought somebody would come through that ruthlessly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard. You can never gauge that sort of thing.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, you just send somebody away and say, hey, I don't want you. Because you know what? It was his store. I don't want you on my property. You're going to have to leave. He had every right to do that.
You know, one of my homies brought up the video surveillance. Shout out to my homie Deshaun. He was talking about how that gentleman was able to walk up on him so close. You hit on a point about at all costs. You talk about protecting, you know, them. But I told him, I said, I feel you on one hand in terms of their surveillance cameras and, you know, I would think somebody would be on deck in that situation just because of who he is. The flip side to that is what I was telling Deshaun is
he's comfortable.
He's comfortable.
He's probably thinking, who would hurt me here?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm at the crib. I've been here for, what'd you say, 2006?
2016. It's when he opened.
It opened in 2016, but he's been there forever.
That's like, where he grew up at.
Exactly. So you got to think his guard was down. Like he's just kicking it out.
He's not worried about it. I mean, he's pulling up there in fancy cars.
Exactly.
He's working in a store that he doesn't have to work in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He could own that property and never show up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And still take home the bag, so to speak. So, I mean, he's there touching the people, taking pictures, being accessible.
Yep.
So he's not worried about somebody coming there and shooting him. Because I've heard that same thing. Well, I don't think it's real, or going back to the conspiracy shit.
Yeah.
Just because nobody starts shooting back at dude. I mean, it was a ambush.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're ambushed, you're thinking about dispersing, get out of the way, find cover, then maybe return fire. But at the same time, it's like, also, you can't say what you would have done in that situation.
And also, when people say, oh, well, how come they didn't start firing back? Remember, California is not Indiana. Everybody does not have a gun there.
Yeah.
A lot of people do have guns, but at the same time, like, there's no just conceal and carry. Just go down and sign. It's not like that is in here or Missouri, mm-hmm. where you can just be with your gun on your hip. Mm-hmm. You know, as even a lot of people carry illegally because of situations like this. But, you know, Nipsey probably thought, you know, look, this is my neighborhood. I should be as safe
I'm
here.
Good.
I should be safer here than I am anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. It was just at the March Madness game the day before.
Yeah, when Texas Tech won.
Yep, sure was.
So, yeah, it's just a loss for the community, for his family, man. I just can't.
I didn't know his parents were still living.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
You know, his kids, he's got brothers, and, you know, he's got he took his daughter to the Grammys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's who was on the red carpet with him, his daughter.
Yeah. And I think he's got a younger son, too.
Yeah.
Is that right?
With Lauren London.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they had the baby. And she, I can't even imagine her thought process and where she is. Like that's gotta be tough, because she has a lot to deal with in terms of him just passing away. But now it's like the family and the babies, and you know, he was invested in so many things. Like, who does what? Who do I trust? Who's mm-hmm. this? Who's that? Like, there's so many things that are going to accompany this. From her standpoint, it's like, when do these people get a chance to just, you know, grieve for their loss and try to tune out all the foolishness, you know,
right.
and all the other stuff that may happen later? So I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. We always talk about, you know, the things that we see on the news, and then we can show them a little love, and then, and not love, but we talk about it, discuss it, keep it moving. Talk about it, discuss it, keep it moving. These things pop up. But,
Mike, did you want to add something?
The link that we talked about, this one is crazy. I forgot about Red August. We're talking about we so deep into the conversation, I forgot about Red August. Red August, talk to me, man. Just talk about Nip's impact, just overall, what the overall concept before we get out of here.
Really, I mean, you guys have touched on everything. I don't think I have much more like value to add other than just the community aspect. Like, I that's the part I appreciate the most. About what he was doing and how he helped out so many people. provided jobs, and just a positive, like, black man in the community. And it just, you know, I watched a lot of interviews like Jay Moore talked about, and just the message that he was very intentional about what he wanted to put out there and what he wanted people to hear. That's what I appreciated about. I mean, I think that he makes great music. I didn't find out about him until last year. And then I went back, and it actually turned out that I had music on, like in my catalog, like of his already. But beside that, I think that he was just a positive person, like the things that he stood for. And he was very intentional when he did interviews about the message that he sent out there. But I mean, you guys have touched on everything. Like, it's just, it's sad. So, I mean, that's all I had.
Word. Appreciate you.
It's not replaceable.
Yeah. Appreciate your take there, bro. Yeah. This is not replaceable. Not. Yeah. You can't, you know,
I hate to like make a joke out of things, but this is one of them situations where you'd be like, why didn't they take such and such? Yeah. I'm not going to put nobody's name out there like that.
Like, I see what you're saying.
There's
some
people going to live, and they're going to live to be 105 years old and not do anything.
And you got all these whack ass, wannabe gangster ass rappers. You know what I'm saying? And being gangster, what people don't realize is being gangster is taking care of shit.
Yeah,
not just being violent or out here banging your set and kicking up dust and shooting at people. True meaning of gangster is actually family, taking care of shit, getting shit done. And he embodied that definition. You know what I'm saying? It's not a fake it till you make it type thing. You know what I'm saying? He actually grew and matured in it.
To your point about the I see what you're saying when you talk about you don't want to make light of anything. I 100% get you on that. But it's just sad when you don't want to lose the ones that are embedded in the culture, the ones that actually care about it, the ones that are investing and putting other people in positions to win. Like, you don't want to lose those people.
Yeah.
Like, the people that actually are trying to push this thing forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, those aren't the people that you want to lose. The people that aren't in it for a gimmick, the people that aren't in it just to, you know, quote unquote, get some cheese, get
just
a bag, and get out of there.
The ones who are just taking.
Yeah,
just
like
take.
All the people that are taking, you know, and just raping the culture, you know, doing bullshit, goofy shit. Like, you don't want to lose the people that are the opposite of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It goes back to what I initially said. Like, we needed them. For that reason alone, and this is outside of rap. I'm talking about life.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just his overall impact. This stretches so far beyond rap, as we all have alluded to. But
yeah, unfortunately, there's no cheat code to protect those.
Yep. There's nothing that you can do about it, because everywhere you turn, man. I think Jay Moore, you said it. You talked about jealousy, man. Like, it's
look,
real.
Look, I mean, and I'm not. You know, I don't have much. You know, they're. I do a little bit here in the city.
Yep.
You know, but even I've heard people say, you know, just like they mentioned to people, like, why does that motherfucker get to host everything? And I'm like, first of all, did you want to host? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, were you there when there was no money involved and there was 15 people, you know, standing in the crowd? And now you want to, now you're mad because I'm hosting, because I had to stick around. When there was a time when there was no money coming in to coaches.
Yeah.
Like, that was money going out, not
talk
coming
about
in.
It. Mm-hmm. Talk about
it. You know what I'm saying? And now you want to be on stage and hang out and you want to grab the mic.
Talk about it.
There's hundreds of people coming in and out during the course of the night.
Right.
Or when Jay Brooklyn's beat battle was in, we did it in the backyard of Katie Salon.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? And
performed
I was
on a crate.
I wasn't even supposed to host, but you know, Jay Brookins is my man. I did him a solid.
Yeah.
You know, and so as that event grew and we're at the Vogue years later, like now you want to say something?
Yeah.
It's like, people aren't just given things. You got to see with the work.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't see the work, you don't have any value in it. And that's why that's where the jealousy comes into play a lot of times.
If there's any artist or any person that's a creative, and you're watching this, I want to leave you with this, and I'm dead serious when I say this. You are a fool if you think that there is not someone out there that is wishing for your downfall.
Definitely.
So be mindful. Everybody doesn't want you to be successful. So keep that in mind when you move. You may see people out there that dap you up or whatever, but trust me, it's somebody that's hating on you somewhere right now, and you don't even know them.
Hustle and motivate.
And there are people that do want to see you win as well.
That's a fact. There are some people that want to see you win.
There are some people you know exactly who they are. Exactly. Sometimes the people who you do not who don't want to see you win, they're in your face smiling all the time.
Mm-hmm. You better talk that talk. I think that's going to do it for this episode. I appreciate the feedback, fellas. I know this is a heavy topic, tough episode, but I appreciate the insight. Longevity, DJ J Diff, the homie Red August, J Moore, a.k.a. Kansas City Mac. I am Major 7. We'll see y'all next week. Patrons, make sure you subscribe. Patreon.com/NewOldHeads. Subscribe to that Bringing Down the Band YouTube page as well. And we will see y'all next week.
Oh, and also, rest in peace, David Allen.